Radio Prague News. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has said Germany's election results could be motivating for his party and inspiring for the voters. The Prime Minister has asked the Interior Minister to explain why police did not intervene during Saturday's concert of neo-Nazi bands. And Italy has asked the Czech authorities for the extradition of a Sicilian mafia boss arrested in the Czech Republic last month. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek of the Social Democrats has said the election results in neighbouring Germany could be motivating for his party and inspiring for the voters. Prime Minister Paroubek emphasised the fact that Chancellor Gerhard Schröder's Social Democrats got only 3 seats fewer than the Christian Democrats, whom pre-election opinion polls had suggested would be the clear winners. Mr. Paroubek also said such a balanced election result in Germany was favourable for Czech national interests and could not be expected to bring any changes to Czech-German relations. A poll by the STEM agency suggests that if elections were held today in the Czech Republic, the opposition right-of-centre Civic Democrats would be the winners with 32.8% of the vote. The ruling Social Democrats would come second with 21.1%, followed by the Communists with 13.5%. The next general elections in the Czech Republic are scheduled for mid-next year. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has asked Interior Minister František Bublan to explain why police did not intervene during Saturday's concert of neo-Nazi bands in South Bohemia, although racist slogans and the Sieg Heil Nazi salute were chanted at the concert. The Lower House Defence and Security Committee will discuss the matter on Tuesday. Italy has asked the Czech authorities for the extradition of Luigi Putrone, a Sicilian mafia boss who had been convicted in absentia of a number of crimes committed in the 1980s and 90s. They included the kidnapping and murder of a 13-year-old boy, the son of a mafia informer. For at least the last 5 years, Putrone had been living under an assumed name in the North Bohemian town of Ústí nad Labem, where he was arrested by Czech police last month. Czech writer Pavel Kohout and his wife Jelena Mašínová failed with their complaint against the Czech Republic over protracted court proceedings presented to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg, the daily Hospodářské noviny wrote on Monday. Mr. Kohout and his wife complained about the length of court proceedings deciding on the copyright for a Czechoslovak film on which they participated in the 1960s. The Strasbourg court ruled that the proceedings, which lasted for 7 years, were not groundlessly protracted. Until now, 61 complaints against the Czech Republic have been lodged with the Strasbourg court, and the country has won only 4 cases, including the latest one. I'm Pavla Horáková, that's the news.
This is the English service of Radio Prague. I'm Dita Asiedu. And today, police stand by as neo-Nazis gather in South Bohemia. Are wealthy pensioners getting a raw deal from the state? Tracing the Czech Republic's industrial heritage. The sports report and later in the programme, a look at the flawed prison system. Police came under fire this weekend after allowing a major neo-Nazi concert to take place undisturbed. Hundreds of police monitored the event but refused to intervene, despite convincing evidence that the law was being broken. Rob Cameron has been following the story and joins me now. Rob, tell us more about Saturday's event.
Well, Dita, Saturday night's concert took place in a village with the rather unpronounceable name of Krčetice, near the town of Strakonice. Around 500 skinheads from around Europe attended the concert, organised by 2 neo-Nazi organisations, National Resistance and Blood and Honour Division, Bohemia Combat 18. And Blood and Honour and Combat 18 are well-known hardline neo-Nazi groups, and anti-Nazi activists say the event was the largest to be held in this country this year.
So I suppose the obvious question would be, how come they were allowed to get away with it?
Well, that is the obvious question. The event actually was booked as a private wedding reception. There was no bride or groom in sight, however, just several hundred young men with shaved heads and combat boots. TV cameras even recorded them through the window of the club chanting racist slogans and shouting the Nazi greeting, Sieg Heil.
And we all know that's a criminal offence in the Czech Republic. But there were hundreds of policemen standing around outside.
There were policemen in riot gear, but the police claimed that they saw nothing. A police spokesman told the media afterwards that they had found no evidence the law was being violated and therefore there was no reason to intervene. However, she did add that they'd also monitored the situation inside the club and would be analysing the footage this week.
Right, doesn't sound like the police were too perturbed by the event.
No, it doesn't really, and it wouldn't be the first time that the police have stood by and done nothing as well. Anti-Nazi activists and many in the media regularly complain that the police let neo-Nazis gather freely, and the police claim they can't intervene when the law isn't being broken. But as I said earlier, it's often the case that TV cameras and journalists see skinheads giving the Nazi salute and shouting "Sieg Heil," but policemen standing a few yards away see nothing.
Thanks, Rob. The Czech state pension system is among the most generous in the European Union, and indeed the developed world, at least for those retirees who were below average earners during their working years. But according to a recent analysis of state pension systems, only in the United Kingdom do high-wage earners get back less in their golden years than their Czech counterparts do. Brian Kennedy reports.
The Constitutional Court of the Czech Republic this year refused to address a case by one of its own former judges, who was attempting to sue the state for giving him an unfairly low pension. The retired judge, Pavel Wawrowski, has since filed a complaint with the European Court of Justice on the grounds that he was denied a fair hearing at home. He calculated that he and his employer paid a combined monthly social security tax of $1,100, yet the judge's pension was only $415 per month. The case of the retired judge is hardly unique here. Within the European Union, only the United Kingdom gives back less to its former high-wage earners than does the Czech Republic. A judge, doctor, or other professional who earned more than twice the average wage here will only get a state pension equal to 35.3% of his former income. On the other hand, a relatively low-income earner, like a tram driver or factory worker, might expect a pension equivalent to 90% of his former take-home pay. That's among the most generous rates in the EU. The European Commission has repeatedly warned that with the population rapidly aging, the Czech pension system is unsustainable. But it remains an extremely sensitive issue, and the major political parties in the Czech Republic have a gentleman's agreement to put off serious debate on pension reform until after the general elections in the late spring of 2006. While proponents of the current pension system say it is precisely because of its progressive nature that the Czech Republic has among the lowest percentage of pensioners living below the official poverty threshold, retired professionals like Judge Wawrowski are increasingly unwilling to make up the difference.
Brian Kennedy there. In a country full of medieval castles and Renaissance palaces, it is sometimes easy to overlook the Czech Republic's rich industrial heritage. Abandoned 19th century breweries, forgotten mines, and massive steel or textile factories now left to rust and crumble brick by brick. But the last 5 years have seen a major turnaround. Investors in the Czech Republic have at last been attracted into buying industrial space and turning factories into fashionable galleries, studios or living space. This week, the third Vestiges of Industry Biennale maps some of the successes, but also some of the risks. Jan Wellinger has the story.
Saving 19th century industrial sites from oblivion has long been a trend in other countries like the US and Great Britain, but at long last it has come here, to the Czech Republic. This year's Vestiges of Industry Biennale offers a wide cultural overview, theater performances, tours and lectures, as well as a gorgeous exhibition and catalog that show some of the most beautiful sites in town. Former steam plants and machine works, slaughterhouses and foundries, reinvented as residential areas, private companies, and even public libraries. Dr. Benjamin Fragner is the director of the Research Center for Industrial Heritage, the main organizer behind the Biennale.
Ten obdiv k těmto objektům a průmyslovému dědictví.
Admiration for industrial buildings and industrial heritage is very strong, especially in the arts community. and perhaps as a result, the approach by some builders and investors has also changed. At first, developers didn't really care to preserve areas as they used to be, and there were some bad examples. But it's getting better, and now it's something of a commodity, pure style and history that sets such buildings apart from a lot of bland architecture today.
Not all projects have been success stories, but even in some worst-case scenarios, at least partially preserved buildings seem a better alternative than caved-in buildings going to dust. As Dr. Fragner says, industrial heritage has traditionally had a strong resonance within the art scene, and some are taking things even further. Stage designer and performer Tomasz Žižka from the artists' organization Mama Papa has organized a tour of an old factory site in the steel town of Kladno, just outside of Prague. As he indicates, visitors will be able to explore the social meaning of the space.
Not many people have idea what to do with this. Beautiful buildings. That means they let it fall down or to say it's contaminated area and it's dirty and it's criminality there. It was already very interesting point of drama to come and to do something in this areal in Kladno. We are doing, we say, industrial safari. We have to be transportable, movable in this territory, in this area. We will go to the area what is not just dirty, it's danger. Many holes, many electricity contacts. We wait for dramatic feeling on the bus to see some light, sound, sleeping buildings, to go as in safari.
Kladno and Prague are the two cities highlighted in Vestiges of Industry this week. And you can find a link to full listings of activities and presentations on our website at www.radio.cz. And now with the latest sports news, here's Ian Willoughby.
Thanks, Dieter. Well, first up today is football and the ongoing fairy tale that is Rudolf Skatzel's dream start with Hearts. Skatzel, renamed Rudy by the Scots, has set a new Scottish League record with a goal a game in the club's first 7 matches this season. The 26-year-old has naturally become the idol of Hearts fans, who sense their team, who haven't dropped a point this season, could break the Rangers-Celtic stranglehold on the Scottish title. Rudy Skatzel says the club's success means more than any personal achievements.
For us, it's more important that we're leading the league. Maybe we'll set a record for the number of games won. That would mean more for the whole team. As for my own record, it's nice, but it's not important.
The very modest Rudolf Skatzel, who's made such an impact at Hearts. He's actually on loan from the French club Marseille and says it isn't clear where he'll be playing next season. His former Czech club, Slavia Prague, beat Cork City 2-0 at home in the first leg of the UEFA Cup first round last Thursday. Teplice drew 1-1 with Espanyol, while Ostrava beat Heerenveen of Holland 2-0 in the same competition. In the Czech league, leaders Liberec remain unbeaten after 6 rounds. They dropped points for the first time on Sunday when they drew 1-1 at Ostrava after an own goal by captain Tomáš Janů. Champions Sparta Prague, meanwhile, were humiliated by a 2-0 defeat at the hands of Slovácko. Sparta have now failed to take a single point away from home since their first game of the season. Manager Jaroslav Hřebík, who has never been accepted by hardcore fans, is under a lot of pressure, though club boss Daniel Křetínský says he will stand by his man. Bizarrely, Hřebík's predecessor as Sparta coach, the very flamboyant František Straka, could be about to go into politics. He's considering an offer to stand for the Christian Democrats in the next elections. Athletics now, and Roman Schäuble's season has ended with first place in the Decathlon Grand Prix after he came first at a meeting in Talence, France at the weekend. He finished ahead of his rival Brian Clay, who beat Chebrila at this year's World Championships to the gold medal. Fellow Czech Tomáš Dvořák finished 8th in Talence and 8th overall in the Grand Prix. Finally, the great Jan Železný has indicated he'll continue to compete in the javelin next year, in what will be, incredibly, his 20th season in senior athletics. World record holder Železný, who's now 37, has won 3 Olympic and 3 World Championships gold medals in a glittering and simply unparalleled career in the javelin. That's all the sport for today.
Ian Willoughby. And in case you've just joined us, you're listening to Radio Prague's English service. And it's time now for another edition of Talking Point. Today I'll be looking at a problem that many countries around the world are facing: overcrowded prisons. In the Czech Republic, prisons hold an average of 5% more inmates than they're designed for. Experts say the prison system is in dire need of reform, as it is flawed at all stages, before, during and after the incarceration of offenders. There are a total of 35 prisons in the Czech Republic, with a little over 19,000 inmates. Some 900 of them are women. Of all pre-trial detention facilities and minimum, medium and maximum security prisons, only one holds female offenders, and another, Prague's Ruzyně prison, has a smaller separated part for them. I'm standing in front of a vast complex of depressingly drab buildings in Prague's Pankrác district. A complex that all of us, without exception I'm sure, would never like to have to see from inside long term. The Pankrác prison and pre-trial detention facility is one of the Czech Republic's most overcrowded prisons, often with 25% more inmates than the 850 that it is designed to hold.
There is about 200 prisoners per 100,000 inhabitants, which means it's twice or three times more than other Western European countries. It means that, of course, our state pays more for imprisonment itself. We can survive the conditions in prison, but it's really degrading. Conditions are almost unacceptable in our civilization.
Miroslav Krutina is an attorney at the Legal Analysis Department of the Czech Helsinki Committee. He says the state of Czech prisons is degrading. Besides them being overcrowded, beds are in a terrible state, sheets are old and torn, windows are dark, prisoners have almost no walking space and little time to spend in the fresh air. One of the biggest problems, Mr. Krutina says, is that over 55% of prisoners have nothing to keep them busy. Every incarceration costs the state 20,000 crowns a year, or 500 to 600 crowns, in some cases 1,000 crowns a day. Employed prisoners pay the prison service 45 crowns from their salary a day, up to 40% of their monthly salary, but not more than 1,500 crowns. All remaining costs have to be covered from the state budget. An expense, according to Mr. Krutina, that the state can only blame on itself, as it fails to motivate inmates to work and approach private companies to employ them.
Our prisoners mostly don't work and get just bored in the cells or in prison. And of course, if they don't have anything to do, they are trying to invent some fun in prisons, and it makes more problems.
For a brief period in the 1990s and the beginning of the new millennium, the Czech Republic's prison system could almost be used as a model for other countries struggling with overcrowded prisons. The total number of inmates stood at around 16,000, 3,000 less than today. This is because the country, which had a traditionally punitive justice system, introduced the use of alternative sentences, mostly for petty crimes, as a means of rehabilitation or to prevent reoffending. Community service, conditional discharges, fines, and suspended prison sentences became popular. In 2001, a new institution, the Probation and Mediation Service, which was to help put alternative sentences into practice and reach effective results, was also founded. Pavel Stern, the head of the Probation and Mediation Service.
It was a very positive fact, but last 2 years we noted that the prison population slowly but regularly rising.
So what went wrong? Why is the incarceration rate on the rise? In the first 6 months of this year, the number of inmates in the country's prison system rose by 1,161 prisoners. That's 95 prisoners more than during the whole of last year.
We noted that one of the main problems is that judges implementing many community service, but problem is Czech justice has a problem with the reoffending, and according our analysis and also other analysis, we can say that the group which circulates in the prisons is a group of reoffenders.
I must agree with the opinion of Pavel Stern. The biggest problem is many offenders who are sentenced for alternative punishments are not motivated to serve it and just wait until justice comes for them to send them to prison finally. So many alternative punishments are turned into imprisonment again.
And while the probation service is quite professional, it has a chronic lack of staff. With only a little under 250 officials, it has only a quarter of the staff needed, experts say, to effectively work with those serving alternative sentences. While it is common for judges to have assistants, Czech judges find skilled help to be a luxury. Hence, many are overworked and, to be able to master their workload, are often forced to make quick rulings. Since courts are not linked by a nationwide database network, judges base their decisions on the contents of the defendant's file, at times unaware that the person is already being accused of another crime elsewhere, thereby deciding a sentence that may be inappropriate.
Judges use always conditional punishment, firstly, when it's not serious crime. But during the time when a person is serving conditional punishment, state doesn't work with these people. So they are not motivated again and they commit another crimes, and then they don't get another chance and they go to prison for both crimes. Yeah. So more than half of our punishments are really short, under 1 year of imprisonment, which from the point of view of, I don't know, penitentiary science, it's unreasonable. To send someone to prison for such short time, it's better to choose some other measure.
The overcrowding of prisons naturally puts pressure on prison management, for whom observing basic operational standards has become an everyday challenge. Some have problems observing the regulation requiring that every inmate has no less than 4 square meters of accommodation space.
This rule is not commonly broken, but last year already it became a problem. So some rooms which were used as resting rooms or rooms for activities were also turned into cells. It's quite difficult for them to do anything else than basic service, like to manage prisoners to food, wake them up, and somehow manage isolation from society. But it's quite hard for them to work with prisoners on some programs.
Few prisoners are prepared for a new life outside the prison walls. In most developed countries, halfway houses for prisoners on parole are commonplace. In the Czech Republic, they're rare.
Still, there are only few programs of parole. It's very rare. We were in Czech Helsinki committee just testing one. We had success, but it was about 55 prisoners released from prison for parole. Our state doesn't have enough personnel to deal with people released from prisons for parole. It means that, again, there is no one who could work with them, influence them, and motivate them.
While it is clear that the Czech justice system has yet to reform, experts say it is not surprising that it has been taking so long, over a decade after the fall of communism, for the country to adjust. 5 years ago, the government, for the first time, seriously considered putting the management of some prisons into private hands. A few private contractors came forward, but the idea still has a long way to go before it bears fruit. And that's all from the Radio Prague English Language Service. And this is how you can contact us. By post, Radio Prague English Section at 12099 Prague 2 in the Czech Republic. By email, it's english@radio.cz. And if you'd just like to listen to a program or review them in text, you can find it on the web at www.radio.cz/English. My name's Dita Asiadu. Goodbye and take care.
Radio Prague, les informations.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kHz. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.ch.